He created them, the Bible tells us, each in their own kind. And what that simply means is that there is a tremendous variety. Ornithologists believe that right now there is somewhere between 9,800 and 10,700 different types of birds, different species of birds. The difference between that number is because they just can't seem to agree on what makes a species. Some of them say yes, some of them say no to different things. And the variety of birds is staggering. It ranges all the way from the bee hummingbird, which never gets bigger than 2 inches, up to an ostrich, which can grow to over 9 feet tall. And the Bible tells us that he created these birds to have dominion over the air. And we certainly know that the eagle is in a place of dominion. We talked about that last week, about how strong, how powerful this bird is, and how the Bible says this is how God sees us, that we should be living as eagles, on eagles' wings, and what that does for us. We talked last week about the majesty of the bald eagle. And just to look at the face and the head of this incredible creature, I mean, it looks like it has an eyebrow coming over its eye that's just kind of, you know, I'm serious. This is business. The impressive curve of the beak that it has. Now, we said that the bald eagle and then the golden eagle is the second one that is prominent in this area. Now, if you saw that bird flying, you may not know that that's an eagle, but it's got tremendous size, got tremendous power. I don't think, though, there's anything that's quite as majestic as a bald eagle in flight. And this picture, actually, we have used, and you see it downstairs on the banner when you come in. But we've also known that we want to make sure that we're changing and being updated, and so we've actually created a more recent logo that we're going to be utilizing. And you haven't seen this before. This is the first time that we've ever shown it, but you can see again just the majesty of that bird with its wings spread out and why we selected that to be a part of the logo of this church. But we also talked about that there are various businesses and organizations that have taken the eagle to be a part of their logo. There's all kinds of radio stations with eagles as a part of it. Those of you that are outdoorsmen, there's the American Eagle Outfitter. They use that logo. Schools will often use the logo. Boston College are the eagles. Even in our government, the Postal Service uses the eagle. Now, I think that not only is in conjunction with the emblem of our nation, but I think they tried to get us to think that they would always get us our stuff quickly. I don't know how that's worked out, but any mailmen in here, I apologize. Of course, we also said that it was on the seal and remains on the seal of the President of the United States, the E Pluribus Unum. And then, of course, probably for so many of us in here, one of the greatest logos and emblems you'll ever see. So I can't tell, and I was going to leave that up there for Jeff, but I decided not to. So thank you, Randy, very much. I appreciate it. Yeah, he's probably not even recording this, actually. Thank you, Paul. I had a lot of people ask me last week, why didn't you put up the Eagles logo? I said, I'm getting there. It'll come. Last week, we had said that the eagle has been revered down through history in virtually every culture. It's been worshipped and been the emblem of nations, and like we just saw, all kinds of different groups and organizations. But again, as revered it is as it has been, it continues to be something I believe that we should keep in our minds. How does God see me? How do I picture that in my mind? Well, picture an eagle. Because that is who you are in God. That you have that ability to soar. You have that ability to be more than a conqueror. Not because of you, but because of who he is in you. But you have to be willing to embrace that. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, just looking at one verse. And I want you to mark this in your Bibles because you should be able to turn to it regularly. Isaiah 40. We referenced it last week, but I want you to look at it again. The prophet is writing here. about the majesty and the power of God. The 31st verse, though, the last verse, because he talks about how the youth and those that are young will still grow tired and weary then. But then he writes these words. He said, but, and every word of the scripture is important. But is a word that says, okay, there's that, but then there's this. Those who wait or hope upon the Lord will renew their strength. That's why we said that this morning. When you are waiting and hoping and giving to God, your strength becomes renewed. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run, not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. You see, I don't know too many people that don't say, boy, I would love to feel that way. You know, I would, and this is probably not a good day for me to be talking about being strong, but to know that when you're in the midst of your struggles, that I can run and not grow weary. I can walk and not faint. Why? Because of what I do? No, because I am mounting up on wings like eagles because I'm waiting and hoping and believing in God in my life. See, church, I want us to get this into our spirits to know that you do not need to be overwhelmed by the things that take place in your life. Now, am I saying that they're easier or that no worries, we don't care? No, there are difficult times. The Bible tells us when times of trouble come. It doesn't say if, it says when. So we expect that because of the enemy. But when that happens, you don't need to be overwhelmed. You have eagle's wings to mount up on that will renew your strength. Now, having said all of that, this morning I want to take a few minutes. Because there are other birds in the church. There are lots of different birds that go to church. I called it last week the Ornithological Society of God. That's what this is. We're the church. We have birds everywhere. And I want to describe for you this morning a few of these different types of birds. Now, every single one of them have excellent qualities, but they also have qualities that we have got to be aware of because they can damage the church body, and they could do damage to you. You with me so far? All right. I'm not saying you are one of these birds, but I'm saying these qualities are things that we have got to be watchful for. So here's the first bird. I don't have pictures because you know these what these are. Here's the first bird. First bird that you have in a church, the chicken. The chicken is in the church. Now, the chicken is the most common bird in all of the world. Scientists estimated a few years ago, boy, I don't know how in the world they would have come up with this. They estimated that there were over 9 billion chickens in the world. That's a lot of Kentucky Fried Chicken right there. That's why those guys, they have franchises all over the place. The chicken's been around for a long time. Many ancient cultures held chickens as being sacred. They would never eat them. These were objects of worship, or they were a part of their deification situations, or all those kinds of things. There are still some cultures today that hold the chicken sacred. Most of them have some attachment or affiliation with Hinduism. But the fact is that chickens are very common. The chicken, or a close variation of that, can also be found in the scriptures. You can find this in the Bible. In Mark 14, Jesus told Peter, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. Remember that? And then in Matthew 23:37, this is Jesus speaking. Jesus says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those that have been sent to you, how often I have longed to gather you as my children, like a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. See, Jesus even used that metaphor of the care and the love of a mother hen that gathers the chicks under its wings. But by nature, the chicken is pretty timid. It's fairly timid, and it doesn't fly. Now, it'll jump up in the air and across. That's exactly what a chicken sounds, though, by the way. I just want you to know that. It'll jump up and it'll fly around for about 8 or 10 feet and they come, but they don't soar, they don't fly. Chickens don't fly. Well, in the church, this person usually has very low self-esteem. Chickens figure there's 9 billion of us. Who in the world would know who I am? Fred Chicken. Nobody knows this guy. Okay, it's not Fred. I knew that. I could tell that. But you know what? They just feel like that they're nobody special. They have nothing to offer. These are the people in the church who are chickens. They have nothing to offer, nothing unique about me. And so consequently, when this person is sick or when they have a need, they don't tell anybody. They don't tell anybody. And they don't do that because they don't want anybody to be bothered. You know why they do that? It's because that is what is their identity. Their issue, the thing that they're dealing with, maybe the sickness that they always seem to be having around them. They don't want to be prayed for because that whole issue has become their identity, their struggles. And in their minds, somehow, this is what makes them special. The problem is that that kind of an attitude can quickly spread. Because in a very subtle way, it is a form of pride. I don't need anybody else. I don't want anybody else. If you're a chicken in a church, you pretty much are sticking to yourself because you think, listen, nobody cares. It's sort of a perpetual pity party that this person has. And so instead of a church filled with vibrant, faith-filled, loving people, we have a hen house filled with sickly, tired, and selfish birds who are only really just concerned about their own condition and maintaining that condition so that they can feel that they've got a sense of worth. In Colossians 1, Paul is writing to the church in Colossae. It's the 9th to the 12th verses. And he writes, "We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all your power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great abundance and patience, giving joyful thanks to the Father." Chickens don't want to be that kind of Christian. Chickens don't want to be bearing good fruit. Chickens don't want to grow in their knowledge of God. Because if they do that, they somehow believe that they lose the specialness that they've been able to get for themselves. And so, like their namesake in the world, there are a lot of this type of people in church today. They come in, they just kind of sit, they leave. Now, I realize in this church, that's different. We don't let people just walk in and walk out without somebody getting a hold of you. When we pray together in the morning early on, I often will say, listen, watch for people that you don't know, watch for people that are by themselves, and go jump them. That's what we want to do, to make sure that everybody knows that they're loved. But it's also why chickens never come to feel like they're really a part of a church family. And see, when that's happened here, there have been a couple times in my own church here where I've scolded some of you lovingly. You may not even know you were getting scolded. But I found out from some of you from time to time about something that was going on in your life that was pretty significant, and you never told me. I never knew. And so how could I pray for you? Now, if you're a chicken doing that, it's because you don't want the pastor, you don't want the preacher coming into your life, you don't want them helping, you don't want them praying for you. Now, I hope by this time you know that I'm not that kind of pastor. I am not an invasive pastor. I am an available pastor. I am there at a moment's notice whenever you need me, but I'm not going to insert myself into your life unless you want me to. And then I'm glad to be a part of your life in any way you want me to. But don't be a chicken about it. You need to let people know when you have struggles, when you're hurting. That's what we have a directory for in the church. You've got every single person in here just about at arm's length to be able to say, hey, I need to reach this person. I need prayer. Would you stand with me on this? Would you agree with me on this? Chickens won't do that. Here's the second one. Chickens we got. We also got pigeons in church. There are pigeons. Now, pigeons and doves are very, very similar to each other. They come from the same family tree. Although our views of those birds are very different. If you think about it, what's the first thing that comes into your mind when you say pigeon? You think dirty, city, hanging around at the statues, eating peanuts and, you know, talking to Forrest Gump or whatever it is that they do. Thank you for those of you that got that. I appreciate it. So we think of that pigeon as being this dirty city bird. Now, the dove has a very different sort of a reputation. Doves, of course, are seen by people as being the basic symbol of peace. When you see a dove, you think peace. There are 310 species of this bird. 10 of them have gone extinct over the years. The two most famous ones, the passenger pigeon, which was actually hunted to extinction. There used to be millions of these birds flying all over, but the Native Americans and then the settlers, all of that, they hunted this poor bird to extinction. The other one was the dodo. Dodo is a type of pigeon. So you're learning something new. When it comes up on Jeopardy, you nail this question, all right? I expect you to nail this. Both of these birds are found in the Bible. The pigeon primarily listed in the Old Testament as a part of the sacrificial requirements of when the people came to the temple to sacrifice animals. It's before Jesus came. That those that were the poorest of the poor could afford to purchase just a couple of pigeons to be used for the sacrifice so that everybody could do that. The dove, however, has had much greater distinction. If you remember, the dove was the second bird that Noah released from the ark to search for dry land. He came back the first time. Second time, he came back with an olive branch in his mouth. His beak. They don't have mouths, they have beaks. And the third time, the Bible says he never came back because the land was present. The dove could also be used in the sacrificial rites of the temple. That also happened. The psalmist talks about doves as being a symbol of innocence, to be wise as serpents, to be innocent as doves, the Bible says. And the prophets of the Old Testament, they used to use the dove as a symbol of people mourning and their heartache, the cooing that they would hear. Of course, the dove is also the symbol of the Holy Spirit. And we see this because in the scripture in John 1, 9 to 11, Jesus is being baptized. And the Bible tells us that when he came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit descended on him in the form of a dove and heard the voice of the Father. You know, this is the only place in the Bible where you see the physical demonstration of the Trinity, the concept of the Trinity. Trinity isn't mentioned in the scripture. There's only actually one other time that I could think of is where Jesus says, I and the Father am one. But this is the only place where you see the Godhead represented. God the Father, his voice comes. Behold my Son in whom I am well pleased. God the Son coming up out of the water. And then God the Holy Spirit descending in the form of a dove. Well, in the church, the pigeon is a person who is cuddly, warm, loving, soft, gentle. They're nice people. But they never take a firm stand on anything. And so when the pastor preaches and there's conviction coming from the Word of God, they're not willing to give themselves to that. It's why pigeons usually tend to stay in the same place in their lives. They can sit under a pastor's teaching for decades and never change because they're not willing to stand. They're also never willing to stand about things of right and wrong. It's why pigeons are so often taken into temptation. They fall into sin and temptation because they never stand on the Word of God. And see, it's not in the church where conviction should be embraced. You see, my greatest desire when I preach is that, first of all, that I preach the words that God wants me to say. That's the most important thing. But the second thing that I'm always praying is that it's going to make a difference in your life. Not because of me, but because of the presence of God. Because I'm being obedient. I'm just simply a piece of what this is that happens. But see, that's always my prayer, that the words are penetrating your heart. And see, it's always such a delight for me when people will come up from time to time and say, hey, boy, what you said today really, really hit me. Jeff, do you remember this? There was several years ago, there must have been 4 or 5 Sundays in a row when Jeff would come up to me after church and go, stop preaching at me. I had no idea what he was talking about. He asked me if I was reading his mail before I came into church. I said, no, I'm not doing that. But you know, God will do that from time to time. But see, if you're a pigeon, you're never willing to embrace that. Because, you know what, I'm just soft, I'm cuddly, I'm easy. And see, the pigeon in church is also rarely around when things get tough. They're not there when it's really hard. And so instead of having people in your church that are excited about new ways to serve God, pigeons just kind of hang back. They never want to get themselves into the midst of things. Yeah, they'll give you hugs. They'll say nice things. But year after year after year after year, there's never a difference in their lives. Here's the third one. Third one's the crow. There are crows in church. Now, another name for this type of bird is the raven, because there's no real set distinction between them. Now, these birds are exceptionally bright, incredibly intelligent. Scientists believe that the crow or the raven could be one of the absolute smartest animals in all of the animal kingdom, on the same par as some of those chimpanzees that they're able to train to do so many different things. But they're also, though, they have come to be a symbol in literature and film of evil. Many times the crow or the raven is used for a representation of Satan. You'll see them in films and things. I don't watch these kind of films, but I know that they're there, that they're always crows and they're always around when demons or evil or death is nearby. The Bible also talks about the raven. Go back to Noah. The raven was the first bird that he released from the ark to look for the water before he did the dove. It was one of the birds that the Israelites were forbidden to eat. Remember, God gave them a list of unclean food that they could not use or they could not eat, and the raven or the crow was one of those. But then in 1 Kings 17, God used the raven to bring food to Elijah. You remember that? Elijah was being hidden from King Ahab, the evil king. God said, I'm going to send the ravens. They're going to bring you food so that you can live. Well, in the church, because of the great intelligence of this bird, it's one of the most cunning and one of the most dangerous in your church. Because the raven, the crow, will tear through anyone or anything to get anything that stands in its way. Anything that comes up against a crow or a raven in your church, they'll plow right through. Sometimes it's very overt, sometimes it's very subtle. And the crow loves nothing more than to get the leader. That's what crows love to do in a church. They love to bring the leaders down a peg or two. They love to point out when you made a mistake or you said something wrong. Love to just kind of, you know, just know your place here. You're not all that. I used to preach at a church not far from here. And every Sunday when I was done preaching, I would watch for this one guy because I knew invariably he was headed right for me. Wanted to come up. Notes he'd written down. Okay, when you said this, I don't think that that's truly what that says there. I mean, he would want to go through this theological discussion with me at the end of the service. Now, I'm more than happy to talk to anybody about anything. I am not perfect. I know. Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry to shock you like that. But certainly, make mistakes. I know that. But this guy made a beeline for me after every service, wanting to get into me about what I had messed up. And I'll be honest, there were some times I avoided him. Other times I was feeling a little more frisky. I thought, all right, come on, partner, let's go. Let's get into this. I know what I'm doing. He was a crow. He was very bright, very intelligent. But the problem with them is, you see, now instead of somebody in your church with tremendous gifts to offer, you've got a person who has to always be watched, always be guarded, someone that you can just never trust, somebody you can never put into a position of leadership. And you lose so often when you're a crow that ability to be able to give back to God what it is that He so graciously gave you. You see, there's one more thing about crows, too. They always think they're right. But the problem is that their knowledge is always without wisdom, and it's always without love. 1 Timothy 6:20, Paul is writing to Timothy, and with this I'll close. We're going to split this into two parts. 6:20, he writes this, guard what has been entrusted to your care. This is Paul talking to Timothy. Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge. When a crow comes at you, many times what they're speaking may be right technically with what it is they're talking about, but the fact that there's no love, there's no compassion, there's no kindness, makes it a foolishness. that is never going to have a place in a church that desires to glorify God. So we've seen a chicken, we've seen a pigeon, and we've seen a crow. Now, all three of those birds, and I've got three more to share with you next week, all three of those birds have wonderful qualities about them. But if you're not careful and you allow those negative aspects to become a part of your life, they become a damaging element to the church. And see, I don't tell you this because I'm trying to talk to some of you on the sly. Boy, I hope that person hears this. Boy, I know they're a crow, they're a pigeon. That's not what I'm doing. I don't write these things with people's faces in my mind. But what I am doing is for you to be able to examine your own life and say, God, what is it about me? Are there things about me with this whole description that I need to be aware of, that I need to change, that I need to say, Father, examine my heart so that I am not a negative influence in anything that happens, not only at Remnant Life, but in my family, in my place of work, with my friends. I want to be a source of light for those people because of Jesus Christ in me. Now, next week, I got several more. What do I got? One, two, three. Three more. I'm going to share with you three more. And one of them is my favorite. It's the pelican. I like the pelican. Some of you may be pelicans a little bit. I'm just saying. Just want you to think about that. Church, I want you to know how much I love you and how much I appreciate you, how special you are. We are blessed at this church. We're not better than anybody else, but I look at the people that sit here week after week, and I know your hearts. And again, we're not perfect, any of us, but we are forgiven, and we're patient with one another, and we're loving with one another, because we all know, listen, it doesn't take much for me to be in that place. We don't judge people here at Remnant Life. I certainly don't. I know where God, what God has brought me through. I know what I'm capable of when I remove my eyes from him. And so I just want you to know every single week when you come here, you got a little bit of chicken in you? You got a little pigeon? Maybe a little bit of crow? You're still going to be loved. But I want you to be able to know that in this place, you can bring that before God and say, God, make the changes in me. I want to be a positive part of what it's happening everywhere that I go. Amen? Pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And God, I know this is a little bit different. We weren't going all through the scripture like we often do. But Lord, your word speaks to us in many ways. And even in these things that are a little bit different, your word still addresses them because your Bible, it covers everything, God, of our lives. Everything that we need to know, every concern we have of life, we find the answers, we find the direction, we find the peace and the comfort in your word. And so, Father, I thank you again for each and every person here. And when we come back together next week, may we be ready to continue to worship, continue, God, to know what it is to live a life on eagle's wings because of your great love. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.